Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
To understand and read the Torah. And I say, okay, yes. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. What's the Torah? This is the Old Testament, you know. So when in my way back to New Orleans, I was thinking about those words, and everything that he was saying was, read and study the Old Testament. That's how you're going to see Christ. And then thinking about that, I was like, wow. I mean, it's incredible to see that in the Old Testament you see Christ. And that's what I want to bring today for you guys. And another thing is that I don't know how many of you love McDonald's. I do. I love McDonald's. Okay. When you grew up here in the United States, it's pretty cool because everybody grew up with the Happy Meal. Yeah, with the Happy Meal. In our countries, we don't have that. I mean, we eat rice and beans, and we have another. Look at that. But here, you love go to McDonald's and Happy Meal, and you go there for the price because it's good. But there's a point in your life when you're growing up, they actually you find out something else. You find out in the menu they have a Big Mac. You know, you go like, okay, not Happy Meal anymore. You got to be, because the price, you see the price and you go, okay, you discover something new. You discover something new in McDonald's. And that's a very interesting thing. And then, but you replace, why you replace the Happy Meal? And the reason why you replace the Happy Meal is because the Big Mac, all the menu that McDonald's has something better to offer you. So you found out in a way. And this is what I want to bring to you guys today, is that in a Christian life, when you receive Christ as a Savior, you actually find something better. None of us want to go back. And today what we're going to talk about is the tabernacle. Why the tabernacle? The tabernacle is a very interesting place because actually bring us to Christ. And we see Christ in the tabernacle, and that's what I bring for you guys today. We're going to see why the tabernacle, why people haven't heard about the tabernacle. Let me explain what the tabernacle is. The tabernacle is a tent. It's a small tent, portable, because remember that the Israelites, they in the desert, and then they don't have any specific place. They walking around for 4 years, and they had to have a place where they want to worship God. And that's what the tabernacle actually is. And many of you have seen pictures of the tabernacle. You see the smoke coming out of the tabernacle. And we're going to explain that in a little bit. But the real reason for the tabernacle was actually to worship God. That's the presence of God. But in the tabernacle happens so many things which we know has sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that you bring an offering, because they didn't have money back in the day. I mean, they actually have what would they call a sheep or goats. I mean, you raise them, and actually you bring the best one. Why? Because we are sinners. And then whenever a person in a community, and in the small community they have, whoever commit a sin, they had to bring the best sheep or the best goat they had, and they had to bring it to the tabernacle. So that will be the forgiving of their sin. So that's why they have that, because they didn't have money back in the day. The tabernacle is a copy of heaven. And this is what I want to bring you to Hebrews 9, 11, 12. And actually, Hebrews 9, 11, 12. And today I'm an old school guy. So what we're going to do today is that, since I preach really short, I'm not going to preach that long like a pastor does, you know. So today I decide not to give the guys the verse on the Bible. You actually want to look for those, okay? We're going to look for it, because I like when I hear this, the papers, you know. So this is the only one that I'm going to have for you, but the other ones I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to look for it, okay? Okay, so Hebrews 9, 11, 12 says the following. This says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest, remember that the tabernacle, they do have a high priest. A high priest is a pastor, I mean, in other words. The high priest, but Christ appeared as a high priest on the good things to come. He entered through the greatest and more perfect tabernacle. He entered to a tabernacle, but this is not the tabernacle we're talking about. not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And the next one says, and not through the blood of the goats and calves, but through his blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. What the verse is talking about? He's talking about the Christ is the tabernacle. And this is what we see in the Old Testament. But this is the problem. A lot of times we want to go back to the tabernacle, and we want to go back to those sacrifices, and we're going to explain in a little bit. We're going to have what we call in Numbers. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. Numbers 19. And I believe this is an English Bible. Yeah, it is an English Bible. Numbers 19. And I'm going to explain you something about the sacrifice, because I noticed that a lot of times we don't understand what the sacrifice is all about. Numbers 19 from 1 to 2 says the following. Okay, we're going to talk to an animal. We're going to talk to an animal today. The Lord has spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the statute of the law, which the Lord has commanded, saying, is speaking to the sons of Israel, that they bring unblessed or a red heifer, in which is not a defect, and in which a yoke has never been placed. Okay, what's a red heifer? A red heifer, it's a cow. It's a red cow. How many of you have seen a red cow, red heifer? None of you, because they do not exist. I mean, you see a red cow. Not red cow, but you see, what color they are there? Black and white, right? You don't see a red cow. I mean, but I'm going to explain you what it is, what's on this. And you see a Jewish guy, you know. You know what he's saying, what he's doing? I'm going to tell you what he's doing. The red heifer in the Old Testament, it was a miracle from God, because once a year, the high priest has to bring a red heifer to the open room, which we call the Holy Holies, where the presence of God was. And then they were sacrificed one of these animals, because this animal was perfect. It wasn't healed. I mean, it was a perfect animal. So it was colored red. Why red? Because cows and heifers, they're not colored red. They white and black. So this one was different. And there was a miracle of God, so the people from Israel has to identify one of these. So they know the color is red. They know this is the one they had to sacrifice, because that's the miracle that God gave it to them. Okay? So that's why they bring the blood, they didn't bring the ashes or the meat from this heifer. So it will clean, it will purify the tabernacle, and that will be good for forgiveness of people's sin. So in 1909, a red heifer was born in Israel. So people was really, you know, exciting, especially in Jewish, because they thought God is telling us that we had to build the tabernacle or the temple. So that's why the guy over here is exploring the red heifer to see if they have any imperfections or is healed, but it has to be a perfect one. So that's why this picture was from 1909. I mean, it's been already like 10 years. So it's a big heifer now. It's a big cow. I mean, they raising it because they want to build a temple and all that. So this is a miracle from God. This is a miracle from God. So I'm going to show you one of the furnitures that they have in the tabernacle, because the tabernacle has a lot of things inside that were very interesting. We're going to start with, I think you have it in your paper. You have one of those. It says the bronze altar. The bronze altar is, this was the place of sacrifice. The altar symbolized God's judgment against sin. Jesus died on the altar. It was called the cross. So the bronze altar that you actually see in many pictures of the tabernacle, that's where they brought the animal. So the animal was, it's called a grail, basically. In our terms, it's a grail. So they will sacrifice this red heifer, or they will sacrifice your offering that you will bring. They will kill the animal, and they will separate the blood, and they will separate the meat. When you burn the meat, it has smoke. So we want to talk about that too. So they separate that, but they sacrifice. You have here the bronze altar. That's where you bring the animal and you kill it there. But what's interesting here is that Christ died for us in the cross, in the altar too. So that's where you see the transition of the tabernacle to the life of Christ. All God was saying in the tabernacle is he was trying to explain people, the Israelites, that they will have a savior later on. So that's why he put all those things together. Then we're going to have the bronze laver. That this one of these was a, it was like a pool where actually the high priest who killed the animal, the big animal, he has to clean himself because he cannot enter the tabernacle with blood in his hands or stains. So he will actually go in and he will clean, but he will already have the blood and the meat already separate because he's about to enter the tabernacle. He's about to enter the holy place. So that's where they had. It was filled with water. It symbolized the cleaning of our sin. And we see how later on Jesus baptized, you know, in water, because actually represent it symbolized that you're a new person. They all the sins are clean. And same thing with the high priest. He cannot enter the temple with blood in his hands. And then we're going to see another, then the high priest will go inside, and the first thing he's going to see is a lampstand, which we call the menorah. The lampstand is one of those furniture that actually, it will have, they didn't have energy back in the day. I mean, they have fire, but this fire, it was provided by God. This is another miracle, because God, the presence of God, will keep the grill that I showed you early. It will keep it on fire, and also it will keep this lampstand. It will keep it with fire. It has seven. The reason why it has to be light inside the tabernacle, because the high priest has to be careful, because if the high priest go to the second room where the holy is, and if he doesn't have any light and he go inside, he might be killed, because only once a year the high priest has to go in it. So it was very important to God to provide light to these men so he will actually go in it and not to enter the holy place. So we see this in Christ too, because Christ is the light of the world. I mean, Christ has put light in our lives so we actually can see. And we're going to go to John 8:12, and we're going to look for John 8, chapter 12. And we see, like, I have it on the screen. Okay. And Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have life of the life. That's why we see the lampstand in the tabernacle, because one day God was trying to tell the Israelites that they're going to have a savior. They're not going to need that lamp anymore, because that lamp is going to be in their heart, because that's the sacrifice that Jesus did in the cross. Then on the right side, the high priest will see the table of showbread. It will see a table made with gold, and it will have pieces of bread that represent the tribe of Israel. And the bread was a place that table represents communion. If you see, they don't have any chairs. There's no chairs in the tabernacle. Everybody has to be a stand. But actually, the high priest will come with you. Remember that at the beginning, I told you that they're going to have the blood, and they're going to have the incense, which they had the meat of the animal, and it will smoke. So he has two things. He will put those things on it, and he will eat one piece of bread. Every time that you bring a sacrifice to the temple, which, just imagine, every day doing that. And then he has to go there, eat the bread, and he will actually see that. And on John 6:51, we see another transition from the tabernacle and Jesus. This is John 6:51, John 6, and I hear those papers, John 6, 51. It's a long verse. There you go. And it says, I am the living bread. You see, a bread isn't a tabernacle. But now Jesus is doing this transition where he's saying, I am the bread. Okay, I want to get communion with you. And actually, when we see the, when he met with the disciples, what do you see? Eating bread too. So he's saying, this is the bread in which comes down out from heaven. You see, so he also saying, it's not coming from a tabernacle anymore. This is another bread. It's coming from heaven. So that one might eat and not to die. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you have it there. And the living bread that came down from heaven, if anyone eats the bread, he will live forever. And the bread also in which I give you for the life of the world is my flesh too. So we see, we're talking about flesh now. So I don't know if you noticed, little by little, we're seeing the transition from the tabernacle and Jesus himself. Then in the front, the high priest is in the big room right now. And next to that big room, he's going to find another small one where the Holy of Holies is, and it's divided by the veil. So he goes there, and he's going to find this one, which is the golden altar. The golden altar, that's where he brings your offering. Remember that there's two offerings. The one that you bring because of your sins, which is, will be a small animal, and the one and the big one, which is the forgiveness of the people, for all the people, the one that God gives a miracle. So then he goes to the altar, to the golden altar, and this is a small one that actually has four horns. And what the high priest will do is that he has the blood and he has the meat. You see there, he has four horns, and he will put the blood of your sacrifice. He will put it on it on the top of the horns, and then he will put the incense. The incense is the meat that is actually burning. And it's smoking, it's sizzling, and the smoke is going up to the tabernacle. But he's not entered the holy place yet, not yet. And this is what it represents, is that this is the incense tells the ministry of Jesus has he prayed for us, and he actually descends from heaven. And this is prayer. Why? Because when you have this incense going up, this is when God will receive your offering. And that's when God will say, I forgive you for the sin you did because you offered the best that you had, which was your best gold or sheep, and then he will receive it. So actually prayer is the same thing because God will receive. Back in the tabernacle, they cannot pray to God because they had to go to this place because that was where the presence of God was. Actually, you had to bring the animal, your sacrifice, so actually God will receive it, and you will be forgiven for your sins. But this is prayer. This is where because the meat, the burning will go up, and God will receive it. And you also we do the same thing with prayer. It goes up. I'm mixing all the language, you know. So after that, it's going to have like a veil that will divide that. The big room from the Holy of Holies. And this is where we have the Ark of the Covenant, which maybe you might see actually Indiana Jones trying to make a movie, you know, the laws of the Lord, something like that. And he that's the idea. That's where they had the idea. A good movie. I like Indiana Jones movie when they lost the Ark, and then he was looking for her, and then he went to the Middle East, and then at the end, I don't want to see the end, but actually, that's where they had the idea. So the ark was the holy of holy places. This is when the high priest has to go in it. And when he goes inside, this is when it happened once a year. Actually, there are records outside of the Bible where they say that the high priest, they had to put like a rope over here. So they will go in it because it has to be, the person that crossed to that room has to be a perfect person. In other words, so if you have something inside, you will die. God will kill you as soon as you cross there. So they will pull it out. So that's why they haven't. This is outside of the Bible. They have those records. So the Holy of Holies, this is the place where God would meet men. And this is when God speaks to the high priest. This is where they have communication with one another. So the high priest will bring the offering of the red heifer. He will pour the blood on the top of the Holy of Holies. And this is why God talked to them and say, okay, I forgive everybody's sins. And then that happened once a year. So when we see this in Christ, we can see on Matthew 27, we're going to go to Matthew 27, verse 50 to 51. Matthew 27. Verse 50 to 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yelled up his spirit. Next one, 51. And behold, the veil. You see the veil. Remember that this is the veil. This is the veil that divides the big room from the Holy of Holies. And this is what it says when Jesus died on the cross. The veil of the temple, because remember the tabernacle then became a temple. And that's where in the Bible you see the temple of King Solomon. And then you see the temple that actually Jesus visited, which is the King Herod temple, the second temple. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the air shook and the rocks were split. This is what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separates the big room to the Holy Holies, it ripped from the top to bottom. And this is the first time that God gets out of the temple for the first time ever, because all the time his presence was in the tabernacle. All the time his presence was in the temple. That's the presence of God. But now God is outside. He's going outside. He's going around the world. And this is where Jesus died on the cross, and then we have the Holy Spirit. So this is very important to see, because now we see Jesus in the tabernacle. And that's what I tried to bring to you guys today. But the tabernacle didn't do anything. The tabernacle, this is what did in the tabernacle. Let's say you kill somebody. You kill somebody, and you say, okay, that was my mistake. You know, you bring your offering. Because you want to give it to the high priest, so the high priest will go to this place over here, and we'll go in and say, okay, he make a mistake. So he will actually go back to you and say, hey, God offered, he accept your offering, and then you're forgiven. But this is it. That won't do anything, because actually that person can go back and kill another person again, because the tabernacle didn't change anything in your life. Anything. But Jesus did. I mean, when you receive Jesus in your heart, he will change that. So the person that committed murder, he won't do it again. So the tabernacle actually didn't do anything. The tabernacle didn't do anything to clear a person from inside, because it was a ritual. It was just something that they had to do. So basically, that's what the tabernacle shows us. And in 1 John 1:7, we're going to look for 1 John chapter 7. 1 John 1, 7, I'm sorry. 1 John 1, 7. Man, these guys are fast. Man, look at that. But if we walk in the light, as his cell is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And we hear the verse a lot. But look what it says. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleans for all the sins. The tabernacle never cleans anybody from their sins. God will forgive your sin, but it will never clear that. But Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it will clear your sins. So actually, the tabernacle is great. Jesus is greater than the tabernacle. But many times, we as Christians, we want to go back to the tabernacle. Omar, what do you mean going back to the tabernacle? Going back to the tabernacle, it's I cannot go to church because I had to go to work. You know, that's going back to the tabernacle. That's going back to the tabernacle because they were just going to the tabernacle, but that wouldn't change anything. The tabernacle, they only have symbols. The tabernacle was made so God will have a relationship with everybody in it. And then many times we create our own tabernacle. That's what I meant here. Many times we create our own tabernacle, and we have excuses, excuses over excuses over excuses. And that's going to a tabernacle. But actually, when you decide, you know, to take apart time and go to church and serve in the church, that's going to the cross. That's different. You see, that's different. But many times we go back to the tabernacle. That same thing when I told you about the big meal on McDonald's, the Happy Meal. You know, none of you, as soon as you discovered that McDonald's has a Big Mac, how many of you went to the Happy Meal? Not anymore, because you found something better. You see? So basically, this is what's happened with the tabernacle in Jesus. You're not going back to the tabernacle because you found something better. So we had to stop, you know, going to excuses over excuses over excuses. I cannot make it. I cannot serve in the church. You know, open a cell group. I mean, it's too hard. You know, that's going to a tabernacle. But when you take the sacrifice and you say, okay, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to serve in the church. That's going to the cross. Sharing the gospel. That's going to the cross. So we have to be careful in things that we do. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah 29:13, because this is when God got angry. This is where God was actually angry. Isaiah 29:13. Man, I can't beat this guy. Man, he's fast at computers. This is when God was angry at the people, because they saw that everything they were just going to the tabernacle. And this is not what God wants to them. God wants to have a relationship with them, but they always were going to the tabernacle. So it says, then the Lord says, because his people draw me near with their words and honor me with their lips and service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence from me consists of tradition learning by the road. This is what they're doing. They're just going back to a tabernacle, going back and doing nothing. Because that became a religion. That becomes, I had to do it. I just had to do the church. I just had to play the guitar. I just had to do it. You know, that's going to a tabernacle. And we don't want to do it, because actually God was angry. Jesus was angry too. You know why Jesus was angry? I think I have a picture there where there is a guy with a sheep. Bring it to the temple, because remember, that one. I like this picture a lot, because Jesus got mad at them too in the New Testament. When he went inside the temple and he saw they were selling stuff. I'll tell you what they were selling. Okay, you are supposed to go to the temple, because they don't have the tabernacle anymore. They had a big temple, and this is what the one that Jesus saw. So they go. They had to walk from many places outside Jerusalem, Israel, because they had to bring the offering for forgiving of their sin. So they had to bring, let's see if you're in, let's see you're in Spain, because back in those days it was hard. We don't have any record. Actually, somebody from America crossed to this part. But let's see you're in Spain, and you had to go, you want to go to Jerusalem, you know? It's pretty far away. It's pretty far. But the only place that you had to go in order to receive forgiveness, it was Jerusalem, because the presence of God was in Jerusalem. So they had to, just imagine this guy from Spain walking all the way to Jerusalem. They had to, that's why Jerusalem has so many people, so many visitors, because they want to bring their offerings so they forgive their sin. So people, the Israelites, the Jewish, they create a system, and this is where their system. Don't worry about bringing one of your sheep or goats. We're going to sell it on the temple. And that's when Jesus got mad, because they were selling those pretty expensive. they weren't cheap. because they knowing that people are going to buy it. So you will actually go from whatever place you were to the temple, and you will actually buy it. And that's when Jesus got mad, because all they were doing was religion. All of what they do, they were symbol. Nobody did it with their heart. I mean, they were going back to the tabernacle. I just had to do it. Okay, do the sacrifice. I already bought it. So this is where, that's why Jesus got mad in the part of the temple. And we had to be careful doing that, because if God and Jesus got mad about it, it's because he wants to have a true relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just come to church and sit. He wants to have a relationship with you. And that's where we see the tabernacle. So then we're going to notice, I told you about excuses and excuses that we actually bring. And we're going to see on adoption. Okay, what was it, adoption? I don't know how many of you guys think on adoption. Some people do and adopt somebody. Adoption, Jesus made me part of his family. And this is another thing that we talk with Jewish, because the Jewish people, whenever you visit Jerusalem and you says that you're from the States, from the United States, they see you like, okay, these are Americans coming, because they know we're Christian. Whatever you are, Baptist or Catholic, they just see you apart from you because you're not God's people. I mean, basically they say, okay, God chose us, like the Jewish. But the sacrifice of Christ makes you part of the family of God, you know? So we're going to look for John 1:12-13. John 1, 12, 13. And this is where people actually is going to tell you, and people's going to tell you this. We all are children of God. So because of everybody's children of God, we all going to heaven. Don't worry about that. Now, you can do whatever you want. I mean, we all children of God. So we have to be careful when we say this, because this statement is not true. And in order to show you that, in John 1:12 says the following: but as many has received him, to them he given the right to become children of God. Who? Children, those who accept him, you know, those who receive him, children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So this is what it's very important to understand. We are God's creation. Everybody, God create us. But not everybody is a children of God. Children of God are those who receive Christ as a Savior. So we have to be careful when we say everybody is children of God, because that's a false statement. According to the Bible, we're not. We're just God's creation, but God, actually Jesus, his blood, that's the one that actually make us part of the family of God. And has the Jews, because the Jews has the right statement. They were chosen by God. So this is God's people, but the blood of Christ make us part, which we call Gentiles. They call it Gentiles. So we are also part of the family of heaven, you know. So basically that's what the statement is saying. And the red heifer, coming back to the, remember the red heifer I showed you? The red cow? Okay, this is what is interesting. The red heifer, what represents is Jesus. Omar, why? Because remember that red heifer that was on the tabernacle, it was a miracle of God. So the Jewish, the Israelites, they had to identify a red heifer. It was simple because it was color red. So they had to look for, identify it, and say, okay, this is the red heifer. This is the one that we're going to sacrifice. So it will forgive everybody's sins once a year. So when Jesus came, when Jesus was born, you know, in the tabernacle, the Israelites, they're responsible for look for this red heifer. So God never told them, okay, on this day you're going to see it, it's going to burn. God never told them. They're responsible to look for and to see it and raise it. So when Jesus was born with Mary, God never told them the date or anything. They were responsible to look, to see, to accept the Messiah. And remember that their heifer, it was a clean animal. It didn't have any stain. It was a clean one. And Jesus was clean because he never sinned. So when we see the tabernacle and we see the red heifer representing the forgiveness of the sin, that's what Jesus did in the cross for us. So this is when Jesus died in the cross, that's where the tabernacle and the temple is not there anymore. Because we don't need it. We don't need to go to Jerusalem anymore. The only thing we had to do is receive Christ as a Savior, because God already went outside the temple, and we don't need to go back to Jerusalem and go to those places. They actually, if you read 2 Kings, you're going to see how the Israel was divided in tribes, and they were trying to actually, they went north to Israel, and they built their own temples. And they were saying, it's not necessary to go to Jerusalem anymore. But those temples, they were false temples and everything. And then the only one that they could do that was Jesus, and he did it in the cross. Salvation is a gift, eternal, of his eternal plan. So the tabernacle is a little piece of heaven. It was a little piece of heaven. When Jesus came in the cross, he's a little piece of heaven. A little piece. And he actually showed the disciples when he resurrected, he came back. He came back. It has a glorified body. And you guys remember maybe when we saw the play, or maybe you read or you watch the movies, you know. You see how he came back. He go to the disciples. He talked to the disciples. And one thing that he did is that he ate. He ate with the disciples. And he has his glorified body. That means some theologians believe that this is telling us that in heaven we're going to have food. We're going to eat. Because if Jesus did it when he was in glorified body, he was like a human person again. He was able to speak. He was able to recognize. I mean, the disciples recognized him. That means that we all in heaven we're going to recognize ourselves. And then we also going to eat. The only thing that eats is not going to be a slave anymore. I mean, that's not going to be McDonald's anymore. I mean, trash food and that's slavery, in that you want to go eat and getting fat and everything. That's not going to happen in heaven. But we're going to eat. We're going to eat. And Jesus showed that actually we're going to be eating in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, all I want to show you in this morning was that the simple point of not going back to the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle is not there anymore. The temple is not there anymore. The Jews, they're trying to build the temple. I saw it. I saw all the furniture that we see that I show you, the table, the menorah, the lampstand, the altar. I saw them. I wasn't able to take pictures. I would love to take pictures, but they told me, no picture. They told me not to take pictures. But I saw that. So when we saw that, the Jews are like, we wanted to build this temple. We want to build it. And all in my mind is like, that's going back to the tabernacle. We don't want to do that. We want to receive Christ as a Savior. I mean, you see how blind they are. They don't have the Holy of Holies, of course, because they cannot replace that. Because remember, well, the Holy of Holies has a long story, but they hide in a long time ago, so they haven't. They're trying to find the Holy of Holies, but it's not there anymore. But that's going back to the temple. We don't need the Holy of Holies anymore because the presence of God is not on the tent, and it's not on the temple anymore. It's in our hearts. So now we are the temple, right? Now you are the temple. Now it's in your heart. So we are responsible to keep it, to keep the temple clean. To keep the this is what I tell the youth. You know, I don't know where my youths are over there. This is what we talk about, tattoos, right? I told them, hey, bro, they always tell me, you know, is having a tattoo is a sin? It's bad? It's bad to having a tattoo? And this is what I told them. Just imagine the temple. Just imagine the temple is here. Will you put in your temple, God is good? Will you put it in it? Maybe not, because you want the temple to look clean. Even though it says something good, it says God is good. Huh? There's nothing bad. Actually, the Jews won't let you do that. Even though it's something good, you know, they don't want to put a stain. They don't want to do something in the temple. They want to keep it clean. So I always tell people, y'all tell the youth, you know, this is the same thing that the temple. You want to keep it clean. Even though it says something good, that God is good, you want to keep it clean. So be careful in doing that. I know it's a trending. I know everybody wants to have a tattoo, you know. And the social media is not helping and everything. But that's another subject. I don't want to get in it. But my youth, no, you know, I know my youth, with my youth, I mean, we talk about all those subjects. So, brothers and sisters, what are we doing now? Are we going back to the temple? I just want to pray for you guys. And we're going to close our eyes. And I want to invite you to something. If you hear this message and you never received Christ as a Savior, I just want to invite you to receive it.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.